It is about 11:10 on May 21st. 2022. This is the House and Senate K-12 Finance Policy Conference Committee. And we have now come to order. Looks like we have it's a hybrid. Looks like we have a quorum on both sides. So with that, today's agenda is we have and do a walkthrough of some of our proposal and those non-controversial items, and basically what we have proposed both on the money side and the policy side from the Senate proposal. So, and that will include the new offer as of today. With that, our Senate staff will walk us through the policy and the financial side of that, and then we'll have a little time for discussion. We have to be out of here by noon. The room is not ours after that, plus there's floor session for the House and caucus for the Senate. So with that, who's going to start, Ms. Hoffer? Ms. Hoffer.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Yes, I will start, and I will just share my screen here so you can see the spreadsheet that we're walking through. All right. So members, on the screen, you will have the change item appropriation spreadsheet for the Senate's fourth offer. Beginning on line four is the proposal to expand literacy and dyslexia data collection at $1.2 million for the fiscal year 2022-2023 biennium and $2.4 million for the fiscal year 2024-2025 biennium. On line five is the Senate's proposal for letters, which is $52.5 million in fiscal year 2023 only. However, there's a footnote on the bottom of the spreadsheet that notes that the appropriation would be available through fiscal year 2025. On line six is an appropriation for the Level 4 Mental Health Innovative Grant Program, which is a transfer to the Department of Human Services. This would be $5 million per year. On line 7 and line 8, this is a partial cancellation of the Santa Foundation's fiscal year 2023 appropriation of $650,000, and then it's a reappropriation of the $650,000, which allows them to spend the funds through fiscal year 2025. On line 11 is a special education cross-subsidy reduction aid increase of $260.598 million in fiscal year 2023, and then $666,192,000 in the tails. This would be a cross-subsidy reduction factor of just over 37% in fiscal year 2023 and about 40.5% in the tails. On line 14 is a proposal to provide regional literacy support directors at the regional centers of excellence. This would be $700,000 per year. And on the bottom line, line 16, is the total general fund E-12 education change in appropriations of just shy of $320 million in fiscal year 2023 and just shy of $680 million in the tails. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Hofer. And now we're going to Ms. Jill Seth. You're going to do the, okay.
Thank you, Chair Chamberlain and committee members. So I'm going to walk through the spreadsheet now that says Senate proposal to House. It's a table that fills up the whole page. The first line does not have a corresponding House and article and section, but that will be the entire Senate bill. And then Ms. Hofer just went through the change items on the spreadsheet there. Then we want to include House Article 1, Section 4, which allows a school board to designate a facility or program within a facility or district as an education site. House Article 1, Section 5 increases the maximum amount of school board member who is employed by the school district. The limit right now is 8,000. That would increase it to 20,000. Article 1, Section 9 allows the board of a school district and non-public school to mutually agree to a written plan for transportation of non-public students. Both sections 18 and 19 in Article 1 remove obsolete language, and then Article 1, Section 53 repeals an obsolete career and technical subdivision. So moving on to Article 2.
Ms. Jill Seth?
Yep.
I'm wondering if maybe people don't want to follow along in the book, just the page numbers in the book, and I don't know if they want to flip through, or maybe we can do it later, but no, just go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, are you sure? Okay, sorry about that, thank you. Article 2, Section 8, we only want subdivision I, delays review of the physical education standards by 4 years. Article 2, Section 20, Subdivision 2A1 only, which requires schools to notify parents of students not reading at grade level on a quarterly basis, and then current law requires an annual notification. Article 2, Section 20, Subdivision 2 only, which requires schools to assess students in kindergarten through grade 2 who have not yet demonstrated mastery of foundational reading skills using an MDE-approved screening tool, and then share the data with the screening or from the screening with the department in the form and manner approved by the commissioner. Article 2, Subdivision 23, Article 2, Section 20, Subdivision 3A, partially, we're taking some of that, updates language from grade 3 to the current school year for reading proficiency intervention. Article 2, Section 20, Subdivision 3B, partially again, updates language from statewide reading assessment in grade 3 to state-approved progress monitoring tools in kindergarten through grade 3. Article 2, Section 4, modifies the date by which a district or charter school must publish its testing calendar. Article 2, Section 47, eliminates limits on when post-secondary institutions may provide information to high school students and parents on enrollment, concurrent enrollment courses. Article 2, Section 48 requires a high school student, or requires a high school and post-secondary institution that enrolls students in concurrent enrollment courses to report to the commissioner the participation rates of students in the courses. And then Article 2, Section 67, a partial section of that updates literacy incentive aid uses. Article 2, Section 8 relates to the Santa Foundation and cancels that $650,000 in fiscal year 23 and then reappropriates it Section 83, Subdivision 63, so that they have a longer time period to spend the appropriation. Article 2, Section 83, Subdivision 3D only explains literacy and dyslexia data collection and reporting systems at MDE. And then the last one on Article 2, Section 84, instructs the revisor to renumber statutory provisions relating to statewide assessments and reporting requirements. Next, we're moving to Article 3, Section 3, modifies the definition of teacher shortage. Article 3, Section 4, requires a teacher supply and demand report to include additional data. Article 3, Section 32 requires Pelsby to include the 2023 supply and demand report to include additional data. Article 4, Section 10 changes some admission and enrollment requirements. Article 4, Section 14 strikes an obsolete reference to cooperatives. Article 5, Section 5, with a slight modification, increases the amount of each school district's special education cross-subsidy, which Ms. Hofer showed on her spreadsheet. Article 5, Section 7, again, Ms. Hofer showed on her spreadsheet. This relates to the special education appropriation. Next, Article 6, Section 10, Subdivision 3 only appropriates money for Level 4 special education site, mental health grants. Article 7, Section 3, relates to the Burnsville Egan Savage transfer of net proceeds from building lease payments. Article 7, Section 4 authorizes the Eastern Carver County School District to levy for the cost of people transportation hub. Article 8, Section 2 makes some changes to the summer food service program and child and adult care food program. Article 8, Section 6 makes technical change to the name of the National Library Service. Article 8, Section 16, requests a revisor of statute to replace all references related to free and reduced price lunch and breakfast with the phrase free and reduced price meals. Article 11, Section 2, strikes language stating the director's first term ended on December 31st, 2020. Article 11, Section 3, modifies the duties of the school trust lands director. And then finally, Article 12 is the forecast article. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Members, any comments or questions on those particular pieces? Change my view here. Mr. Chair, do you have comments, questions?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you for convening. Thank you for, again, holding this in a hybrid format. I hope to be there physically soon. We very much appreciated the Senate's offer this morning. We appreciated the movement and the conversation. I know that you and Chair Richardson have had some further conversations this morning that she characterized, I would say, as promising. So I'm wondering, appreciated that walkthrough. If we could recess for a short period of time, that would allow us to put together, complete the assembly of a complete response to you.
Well, given the time frame here, we'll be recessing in maybe, 20, 25 minutes as it is to get to our respective places, floor session or other places or caucuses. So I'd rather not recess right at this moment, but see if we have any other comments or questions about these particular items. I did have a conversation with Chair Richardson, and one issue that was up last year was the disciplinary process. I think it was K-3. And we had some agreement last year, but they got thrown out. It got kind of messy. We did not hear any of that this year. We believe it's important, but it was just not in our committee, because we were focusing on the literacy part, obviously. So I'd like to wait until about 11:40, 11:45 before we take a break. So we'll continue on, but then, of course, we'll keep this committee open. Any other comments or questions from anyone?
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if potentially if we could just review non-controversial or perceived non-controversial same and similars on policy, and then get to the heavier lift perhaps on money.
So if I understand correctly, you're traditionally right, we have same and similars, right? And we had a little different process this year. As you're aware, having been on K-12 Senate, that there were bills we heard that we didn't include, sent to the floor, finance, were laid over, that those same bills were heard in here. That's what we're looking at. I mean, traditionally we'd have same and similars, but we have those in a different context. And what we've listed here are all non-controversial things that both bodies heard and either accepted or endorsed in one way or another, and either included or did not include. And others, we stayed away from issues that we believe were mandates, extending programs, new policies, additional monies that would take away from special ed or the literacy piece. So I hope that answers your question.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. There's a lot of low-hanging policy fruit here.
Yes.
That, for the sense of progress, momentum, it might be helpful, but, of course, the House needs to formally respond. But we'd like to get a sense of momentum.
Yeah. And that's what this is. I mean, we did offer the same. We added a few, but a few days ago we offered the non-controversial, non-mandated sort of things that I just mentioned. We have that in this proposal again today, plus a few extra things after Chair Richardson's comments last night. We picked up on a couple of them. We did not. Okay, thank you. So, is that good?
Well, Mr. Chair, I understand. I think, we can do policy, low-hanging fruit, take care of it, revisit policy again. We're looking at some deadline, I assume, today, tonight?
Yeah, I would think. Yes. So Chair Richardson has her hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to speak, and also thank you for the conversation this morning. And I appreciated being able to talk about some of the provisions that have been in both the House, on the House side and on the Senate side as well. And, you know, based on our conversation today, you said that we're open to some continued conversation around some of those policy items. We had talked a little bit about recess for all, which we talked about in committee yesterday. And so appreciate you being willing to continue that conversation. And you just mentioned the K-3 dismissal language as well, that there was agreement around that Senate language. And grateful that you committed to continue conversation around that. And then we also talked about some of the teacher of color provisions that are non-fiscal pieces that really go to strengthening the agreement that we had last year around the fiscal provisions in terms of being able to prioritize grants to retain and mentor teachers, TASI teachers that are tier 3 and tier 2, looking at that within license shortage areas as well. And then also the provision that looks at the timing around grants being able to be awarded for up to 24 months, but there be no fiscal implications for that, but just a really important policy to ensure that we are moving toward the goal of increasing those teachers of color. And then that last provision around the state goal related to TASI as well. And so with today's conversation, I'm hoping that we'll be able during recess to continue those conversations around some of those policy things that you shared with me this morning that you're open to continue conversations around. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Richardson. Just a moment, please. We were just handed some, the House staff just handed us some documents. We're just trying to organize them. Hold on a moment.
Mr. Chair, while you're working through some of that, would it be okay if I just share a little bit of additional perspective? One of my superintendents shared some information publicly regarding the work we're doing here, and I'd love to put it forward for members of the conference committee just to take into consideration as we continue to work on this, if that's okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So I won't read the entire email or message that was sent, but I will give some context. And again, this is from a superintendent in my district. He goes on to say, the best and most effective and simplest use of the funding allocated to E-12 would be to cover the special education cross-subsidy. And he says with the full $1 billion that were allocated, which is just a little bit different than what we in the Senate have proposed. He said, in their school district, we spend approximately $8.1 million in general fund dollars to offset the cost of the special education cross-subsidy that are not covered by the state and federal government. We are fortunate to have a voter-approved levy in place, which generates approximately $4.5 million in additional revenue for our district. One could make the case that our entire levy goes to offset a portion of our special education cross-subsidy. Another way to look at it is in terms of full-time employees. If we had that $8.1 million available to spend on general education, again, if we had it available to spend on general education, it would equate to 102 full-time employees, 102 folks that could work in their schools. Yes, you read that right, 102 FTE.
I'm sorry, Senator Duckworth, what district you said?
This is actually District 192.
Okay, thank you.
No problem, Mr. Chair. We would have plenty of funds to hire literacy coaches, additional counselors, and additional mental health support. Districts would be able to design the supports needed for their community. As long as the special education cross-subsidy exists, It will be a financial anchor on all school districts in Minnesota. Simply put, the most impactful way to allocate the E-12 spending is toward the special education cross-subsidy. Other uses might generate nice headlines or make others feel good, but nothing would benefit more learners faster than just keeping it simple. And he compels us to put as much funding as we can toward the special education cross-subsidy. And Mr. Chair, the reason I wanted to share that is, I think something that's getting lost in translation as we have these conversations is that, you know, there are some out there that say our bill doesn't do anything or doesn't focus on mental health. Well, I think, if I heard the updates correctly, it does. But what I want people to understand is when school districts receive the kind of funding that we're talking about in terms of putting that much funding toward the special education cross subsidy, that then allows them at their level to make decisions, to hire folks, to bring on additional resources specific to mental health amongst a whole other host of issues that they want to focus on within their district. Okay. Similar message from other superintendents, school board members, teachers, and parents. So to say that we don't understand or we're not willing to help work toward alleviating the mental health issues in our schools just isn't an accurate statement. We want to do that. More importantly, or more specifically, we want our districts to be able to do that. I think they can make those decisions best at their level. They know our districts and the kids, the parents, the teachers the best. So at the state, what we can do is give them those funds directly and let them put them to good work. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair?
Thank you, Senator Duckworth. Chair Dabney.
Chair Dabney. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm aware that House staff has distributed our offer of this morning. I want to thank you for your offer of this morning. It shows some promise. It shows some progress. I particularly appreciate your recognition of the issues around mental health, with recognizing in a more limited way than we propose the level four programs. We see those as those programs across the state as students who are deserving of our particular attention, that additional resources are needed there to provide resources that best meets the needs, the unique needs of those students, and allows them to grow and develop in a healthy way in a safe school setting. We see the level four programs across the state, and so would encourage that you take another look, and we reflect this in our offer of this morning, at the full amount that the House has proposed, so that level four programs across the state can be treated equally, to pick up a theme of Senator Duckworth's. Your cover letter this morning was clear that we don't have to do 50-50 on this. And you're certainly right on that. It's not in our joint rules. We do have to be persuasive. And we've been actively trying to persuade you. We were pleased that we persuaded you that the special ed cross subsidy, which wasn't in your original bill, is of value, and have seen you move towards that. But you haven't persuaded us yet, and you'll see this in our offer. You haven't convinced us that student well-being isn't important for students across the state, and that we need to move the needle on the ratio of school counselors and social workers and psychologists and nurses and chemical dependency counselors in the schools, and by providing a dedicated revenue stream to support school districts in doing that. We're not convinced that our shared literacy goal isn't best achieved by complementing the investment in letters with other investments that fulfills or that complements the investment in letters. We're still not convinced that children don't need access to meals in order to develop and grow. And so we continue to prioritize that. We believe that we can best prepare students for education through early learning scholarships. We know that the Senate historically has valued the flexibility of those across the state. And we see that. And we also continue to believe that all school workers are doing work that is valuable and worthy of our respect. and that their dignity is important and that they should be treated equally with their neighbors and coworkers. So you see that reflected in our proposal of this morning. We have moved significantly in your direction on the special education cross subsidy. We've unfortunately, although we think it's an important aspect of literacy, dropped, for instance, our English language learner cross subsidy proposal and moved and a number of other proposals that were important to the House. But we're continuing to show movement. I'd like at this time, Mr. Chair, to the policy list that we have in our proposal, and I'd move before the committee to accept the policy agreement list provided in the House office.
We're not going to do that, Mr. Chair. You don't have to, we're not going to address that today at this point. Your proposal still contains substantial expense dollars that don't go to special ed, that don't need to go other places at this time. As clearly pointed out by many superintendents and other organizations, these dollars in special ed are preferable because they can be used with great flexibility, and as been pointed out previously, those districts can make those decisions, and they should be able to make those decisions instead of coming from us. Secondly, you still maintain and in your proposal that unemployment insurance issue, which was not in either bill and does not belong in this committee, is not the jurisdiction of this committee, and which has been opposed by, and very controversial, by the way. So with that, what I will do, Mr. Chair, is we have a DE amendment, A14. That DE amendment contains all those things we walked through on the Senate proposal today. The non-controversial issues, the non-mandate issues, the issues we can agree on, the special ed, the level four, the literacy, things that were all agreed on previously and understood and supported by many people. So with that, I'm going to ask people to take a vote on the A14, which contains those proposals.
Mr. Chair?
Chair Dabney.
Mr. Chair, has the your proposal been emailed out to members?
Yep.
Mr. Chair, I do not have it, and I cannot vote on something that I have not received, and I can't ask my conferees to vote on something that we haven't received.
It was sent out at 9 a.m. this morning.
So you're referring
all the amendment the what is in the
referring to your proposal of
what is in the A14 is what was in the proposal, nothing more, nothing less. And if we believe this is urgent, as you have said in the past, and I have believed that since the first Monday of the conference committee, it is urgent. So if it is urgent, then we can take a vote. Hang on.
Mr. Chair.
Stand by one moment. Talk amongst yourselves. Apologies, I felt a nasty cough coming on, so I thought I'd step away. So, all right, it's out there. The items in the delete all A14 are the items in our latest proposal. And as I was saying, there is has been an urgency, has been expressed by many people at different times in the last 2 weeks. I would agree. We have had several proposals in front of this committee, and the progress has been painfully so. The proposal you just offered still contains UI, which is not serious. Finally, you had mentioned yesterday, Mr. Chair, about a legacy. And if we all want to be part of a legacy, then let's be part of a legacy that finally puts to death illiteracy in the state, puts an end, the beginning to the end, to illiteracy in the state, and changes the trend from down to up. Put an end and just completely eliminate the achievement gap. That can be the legacy that everybody on this conference committee and that have participated in the last many years can be part of. Parents, educators, and a bipartisan effort. So that is the urgency, and that is the legacy that you can all be part of. And that is kid-focused, 100% kid-focused. So with that, members, I'm going to have Ms. Donovan. We're going to take a roll. Senator Wigger.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Earlier I just spoke to the importance of the non-controversial items, and I think that's the attempt to get to. I have consistently offered strong support on the proficiency for reading goal and to step that up. However, I have been equally strong in terms of not suspending the world's best workforce metrics. And Mr. Chair, when included in the amendment 1.8 to 1.11, and I recognize that's the majority party's recommendation, but this would suspend those other metrics for several years. And if it's the goal to close the opportunity gap, we are going to suspend reporting on progress made by each district on what's being done, as well as on early ed. I recognize the importance, and I support that for reading proficiency, but because of the language in 1.8 to 1.11, I have to vote no.
Senator Wigger, thank you. Our first proposal on that first week of that Thursday, and ever since then, has included the entire 9 pages and 5 provisions of the Senate bill. And each subsequent thing, it's been in there. There's no end to reporting. MCAs are still required. And even the updated language for the world's best workforce, focusing on literacy requires reports and follow-up. And also part of what we have in the literacy proposal includes part of the governor's provisions for getting data, tracking, and supporting. So that will not end. Senator Wigger.
Mr. Chair, I support all those provisions and have stated so, but I strongly oppose suspending these other metrics that are very important as well.
Every school district and every instructor I've talked to in the last several years, including the auditor's report recently on, OLA's report recently on WBF, world's best workforce may have been a laudable goal at the time, there's no correlation between that and success in the schools and our kids. Secondly, the districts have, even in the OLA's report, said it was a check-the-box process and it was adding nothing to the academics or the towards solutions and problems and improving outcomes for the kids. Senator Wigger.
Mr. Chair, I wish we could have had a hearing on the OLA report, and they asked for clarification on opportunity gap, et cetera. But for the reasons stated, I oppose deleting or suspending those requirements. I recognize the Senate majority position on this. I needed to offer that since I feel it's very important to have these other metrics in addressing literacy.
That's fine. Your position is well stated. So is ours. With that, members, we're going to take a roll call on the A14. That's a delete all. Contains those items in our proposal we went
Mr.
through
Chair.
Today. Mr. Chair, we're going to take a vote because we're going to have to get out of here. So
Mr. Chair, one last comment from you. At this time is inappropriate.
What?
Taking a vote at this time is inappropriate. First of all, there's a motion on the floor to accept the policy provisions in the House proposal that you received. So moving to a roll call on a separate item is out of order for our joint rules.
So what are you
saying? Most importantly, Mr. Chair, you're asking the House to vote on a proposal that we have never seen the language of. And as I frequently over the years have had to explain to constituents who see a good idea or what they think is a good idea or a bad idea, I have to explain to them that we don't vote on ideas at the legislature. We vote on language. And a comma, an or an and matters. And without having received the A14 amendment before the committee and having had been given time for the House conferees to review it, we simply cannot vote on this amendment at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Our motion and our proposal was on the floor well before yours came about. So that is what
Mr.
we were...
Mr. Chair, the House never received the A14.
Mr. Chair, our proposal was before this committee. That's what we were discussing and questioning and going over. And it was not the House's proposal we were discussing. So that was on the floor first, and that is what we're taking up. Ms. Donovan, will you take the roll for the Senate side, please?
Chair Chamberlain?
Aye.
Senator Eichhorn?
Aye.
Senator Coleman?
Aye.
Senator Duckworth?
Yes.
Senator Wieger?
No.
That completes the Senate, sir.
Ms. Burt?
Chair Jim Dabney?
Pass.
Chair Ruth Richardson?
Pass.
Representative Julie Sandstead?
No.
Representative Hoden Hassan?
No.
Representative Sandra Erickson?
Erickson votes aye.
Mr. Chair, I'd ask that the Senate now consider in the recess that you've indicated you prefer to go to the House offer of this morning. It moves substantially in the direction that the Senate has requested in its offers. It complements, you've stated very eloquently the importance of literacy. That has been a goal of ours. It complements the proposed letters investment with items that complement that so that we can actually achieve the goal that you so eloquently identify. We've talked before, it's not about letters, it's about literacy. It's about kids getting to read. And that requires more than just a teacher professional development program. That has to include attention to how that program is implemented and supporting teachers as they learn to teach literacy differently, and we hope more effectively. But it also recognizes that the well-being of students is important, that we've heard from school districts and superintendents and teachers, and most importantly, we're listening to parents. And just like our literacy proposal includes outreach to parents that we think is an important dimension of learning, we've listened to parents who have talked to us about the importance of student well-being and mental health and the crisis that we're in at this time regarding that. It includes respecting the dignity and well-being of all school staff equally. We consider that to be a high value. It includes recognizing that early childhood is the greatest place for return on our investment. And we feel a responsibility as custodians of the public dollar to invest where the greatest return is. That's why we propose an investment in early learning scholarships. We've got a solid proposal in front of you that made significant movement toward the Senate position. You've recognized some of that in your proposal of this morning. I ask for your consideration, Senator Chamberlain, Mr. Chair. When can the House expect a substantive response to our offer of this morning?
Well, first, Mr. Chair, I'm going to report the, as it's no surprise, the results of the vote. You need a majority on from both House and Senate affirmative to pass. So we did not achieve that. On the Senate side, we had 4-1, 4 to pass, 1 nay. On the House side, we had 4 no and 1 yes. So I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So on the House side, we had 3 no's, 1 yes. Fuck. On the House side, we had 1 yes, 2 no's, and 2 pass. So the motion to adopt A14 is not passed. With that, we've been at this for a while, and we've talked about urgency. There's no more time to discuss marginal issues. We have presented the positions clearly and forthrightly for quite some time. We're not in a position to continue to quibble around the edges. We are in a position to get rid of all the other stuff that cannot be agreed to and move on. Everybody agrees to literacy. Everybody agrees to level 4. Everybody agrees to special education and several of those non-controversial policy issues. That's agreed to. So that is what we moved on, and that we had to agree on, and that is what we just had a vote on. Unless and until you got something right there, Mr. Chair, then I don't know what else to do. We don't have days and days. We hardly have hours to figure that out. And that is what we have done and brought forth. That is our offer. That is the proposal. So we will not be considering any, we will not take another dime from special ed. We will not take another dime out of that. So that is our position, and that is where we stand. With that, we are in recess to the call of chair.
Mr. Chair, when can we expect a substantive response to the House offer?